Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we get into brewing and brewing beer in this half of the show, and also, of course, the news. How can you go wrong with the news? And most subjects, guess what? I have thoughts. First, LifeLock. USB charging stations at the airport come with a cost you can't see. USB ports pass data so criminals can modify USB connections and install malware or download your data. So many threats, so many ways cyber criminals can take what's yours. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. It's 2020. We're here. We're right at 2020. You're online. You're shopping. Think how convenient everything is. You're having everything brought to your home. You don't have to go wait in line. You don't have to go drive across town. But you need a little insurance. And that's because your information is out there. So you need LifeLock. That's all right. It's the cost of doing business these days and having a little peace of mind. If there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't have a problem. You'll have LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
And now, another actual five-star iTunes review of the podcast, read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
I become hockey in the show. It's amazing combination, the hilario, caustic, self-deprecating, and wise, the absolutely hell me stay, sang, and war.
From your mouth to God's ears. Go to iTunes, rate, and review the podcast, and maybe Ozzy will butcher your review, too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Toby Humes, brewer, for lack of a better title, or that'll work. Brian McDaniel here, comedian as well, in studio. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for having us.
So Brian, I saw at the Ice House some months back.
That's right.
And I said, oh, TMZ guy.
That's right.
Did you say you were there for 8 years?
Or I was there for 8 years, and I knew Teresa.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh,
wow. I did know Teresa.
So you were in the first wave of people there.
I was in the first wave. They hired me when they were transitioning from website to TV show. And so as the TV show started up, it was like news reporters, and Teresa was like straight to camera reporter kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And almost instantly they ditched that. And I was on the show. They brought me on the very first week of the show. They had a question about soccer. They mm-hmm. knew I knew about soccer. I happened to be wearing a Mexico jersey. I had a red bandana and a fro. Mm-hmm. Like, you couldn't have cast soccer junkie better.
Right.
It was perfect. And then they were like, okay, well, you're on the show now. And, well, it went from there.
I don't know if you're gay or straight, but there's a guy who loves...
Because of the soccer?
Hold on. Do you love disorganization in the office? Because Dylan over here, yeah. I mean, I feel like you guys
are.
Yeah. So, I met you, and I'd recognized you, and then we were talking sort of backstage at the in the green room of the Ice House, and you mentioned something about your wife, which struck me as well.
Yeah.
You worked at TMZ, and your wife said what?
She said, I think you should quit your job and hang out with the kids and, you know, follow your comedy passion.
Oh, wow. You hold on to her.
Yeah. She's at work right now.
She's an attorney?
She's a suit. She's an executive at CBS.
Oh, God.
Pretty great, Brian, up top.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Great Brian's act
That's
of life.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, Brian's got the same deal, essentially.
Pretty good.
No
really?
Such luck yeah. for the ace man.
the wife's killing it.
I remember just going, God damn, what's that like?
Yeah.
Like telling you, hey, stop getting up at 4:30 in the morning.
It's pretty, pretty freaking phenomenal. But the flip side of that is she now has all of the power in the relationship, mm-hmm. right?
So yeah. That's
part of it.
Yeah. See, let me just say this, folks who are looking for equal pay for equal work and all that kind
I'm
of
listening.
Stuff.
I'm listening, yeah.
When a woman is bringing home all the bacon and the sort of flipped, the script is flipped a little bit.
Right.
Like you become a little bit kept in the stay home, whatever.
How dare you?
If in fact you are farming out everything, like all the cleaning and the pool,
yeah. The rearing.
Let me explain how that conversation worked. What the fuck do you need a pool man for? You have fucking Brian sitting around watching TV all day. Why doesn't he clean the fucking pool? All I'm saying is,
pool.
If the math works that direction, it should go the other direction as well. Wouldn't you say?
Yes,
that'd be fair.
There's a, Brian, I can't speak for you, but I assume, being in a similar position to me, you feel a responsibility. Like if you're home writing or doing whatever or some ancillary thing to your job, you're like, I should probably tidy up a little bit. You know what I mean? Like if I don't, I can't speak for you. Do you feel the same way?
I mean, I try not to go to bed and leave dishes in the sink.
Yes, it's the same thing.
You're going to be a housewife. Do your job.
I'm saying, Gina Grad, there's a little bit of an onus when the dude is the one staying home. I'd prefer just a dusting of that.
Sure.
When the lady stays at home and the fella goes out.
That's fair.
Slaves over a hot podcast microphone all day. Comes home depleted and out of ideas, broken by his employees.
This is definitely not aimed at one person at all. This is definitely not.
No, I'm saying we have sort of wrapped our minds around, like, when the woman's super rich and then she gets divorced and now she's got to pay the guy. Mm-hmm. Go, well, okay, it's a two-way street. Like, that's the way you wanted it. I am saying I know people who have wives who stay home, who don't do a lot during the day. They're not considered pariahs. You flip the script, the guy's considered a pariah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Just constant shaming.
That's shameful.
And I'm looking for balance in our society. That's what I'm looking for. All right. And Toby.
Brian, might get together for a two-hour lunch?
You want to come over and hang out in my pool? I do not clean it.
You don't do your own pool?
Hell no, I don't do my own pool.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Toby works. Toby understands.
Yeah, I work a lot. Yeah.
Now, you've got the breweries, right? Or the, what should we call the destinations?
The tap rooms.
So we have the main brewery in Torrance, and then five tap rooms, soon to be 6 and 7 here in the next couple months.
I've been a great, big fat person.
Dylan told me that you have been going through a little regulatory hell with the city of Hollywood.
Oh yeah, we've had a treat at our little project in Hollywood. It's about 13,000 square feet, and the city, we can't exit out the back into the alley because of easement nonsense, and then so we had to put in 2 rated stairwells to go down to Hollywood Boulevard.
Jesus.
It's an old unreinforced masonry building from like the 1919 that seems to have stood through a lot of earthquakes, but all of a sudden we need to put up CMU inside all these walls because allegedly now they're going to fall down now that I've got people drinking beer in there. So
what's CMU?
What is it? Masonry units, you know, block wall.
Oh, you have to add this block with the reinforced rebar inside of it and then backfill it with the
concrete.
Right. Yeah. We keep talking about, you know, oh, there's no affordable housing. There's no the cost of housing, the homeless population. And the city officials, I find ironic, the people that run the city who have regulated every builder out of the fucking city are going, why don't we have more low-cost housing? And it's like, because you fucksticks overregulated and everyone went to Texas. I don't get why are you asking that? Why are you making the proclamation? Like, we need more low cost. Do you think there's a low cost housing ferry that just missed our fucking city? Like, is that what you're lamenting? Because if you try to build anything, they fucking wring the shit out of you to the point where oftentimes you go, fuck it. Like, I'm going to Austin or Houston or whatever. Like, I don't want to deal with it anymore because there's such a thing. When you're building is, okay, well, that makes sense. Like, this is a door, and we have to put a bar on it because it's a fire escape, and if people get pushed up against it, we can't have it latch and open in. We have to hit the bar and open it up. You go, fine. Fair. I get it. I get that. I get there's a part of building that just is involved with safety and fire and all that kind of stuff. But then they keep going, and they keep going, and they go into nonsense land. And they go into a world where you're like, why do I have to put a chain link fence around a tree that's on a hill that I can't even climb to? I'm not strong enough to get to it. Why do we need? Because it needs to be. We need to put a 5-foot perimeter with a chain link fence and all this. Why? Why do I have to do that? because we're telling you to do it. That's how it works. And you will run into 50 of those examples if you try to build in L.A. That's residential, commercial. I could only imagine anything to do with food or alcohol. Yeah. Insanity. And eventually, people stop wanting to throw good money after bad. They want to leave. But they're fucking assholes, right?
It's been tough. There's no doubt about it. We're not to the finish line, so I don't want to get myself. but it's been a less than good experience.
Here's what it feels like. It feels like you're being punished.
Yes.
It feels like the whole feeling of it is a feeling of punishment. Like you are their fucking tax base. You are how they get paid. You're why the lights are left on. And some guy shows up and it feels like he's fucking with you. That's the whole thing. It doesn't feel like he's working with you. It feels like he's punishing you. He feels like the cop who gets out of the car on Porky's and goes, you boys got a taillight out. And you go, what do you mean? And then he whacks up his Billy stick and go, well, that ain't gonna be easy. Right. That's what it feels like because they're fucking drunk with power and they're assholes. And this is what happens. It can go no other way. You're like, oh, well, why don't we try this form of government? We're just give all these guys the power and then they'll do the right thing. They'll be sensible. They'll be flexible. They'll be open-minded.
Yeah, why wouldn't they be?
Never. Fuck you. You're going to be punished. That's what happens. And they're dumb. You give dumb people juice, they're out of control. And that's who you get.
And it's doubly unfair because he's in Hollywood and the hookers get no regulation whatsoever.
Run free.
Yeah.
Listen.
They're not paying taxes.
Believe me, I've talked to the guy who runs the Staples Center and I'm like, how do you have all these fucking ghetto dog carts all over your fucking property? And he's like, yeah, it's just nothing. We can't. I don't want to get yelled at. And I'm like, just go down to the city council. Tell these guys you have restaurants here. And you have all these unregulated guys making food on your fucking porch after the Lakers game. Like, tell them to get out. And he's like, they won't do.
Wish I could.
I'll get punished if I tell them to do their job. Okay. Fine, L.A. But do not be surprised when people flee your city, and do not be surprised when the homeless take their place, because this is what you're doing. You're setting this up. Whatever you're doing, you're making it attractive for these people to leave and these people to enter, and eventually you're going to have... I've said it for years. Like, you cannot fucking declare war on taxpayers.
Right.
That's what we've decided. We're fucking declaring war on taxpayers. You people who sleep and shit and shoot up and sell hot dogs for everyone, no interest in you. You have a checking account.
Right.
Now we're declaring war.
Well, the best part about it is we'll finish, and then, you know, next year I'll get a tax bill for $25,000 a year for the enhancements we did to the building.
Oh, that's right. Even, my God.
That's even better. That's not your property
taxes.
There's
no rebate with any of that?
There's no. With Los Angeles, there's no rebate for anything. You know, it's take, and that's how it goes.
Speaking of your the rules that are seemingly arbitrary and bizarre, like our neighbor last night, our neighbor is a landscaper, has a landscaping business, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to put in, we tore out a couple of trees that were dead. I want to put in a couple new trees. And I got him over. We're talking in our yard. I'm like, oh, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And he's like, well, I'll have to check and see if this area is zoned for certain kinds of trees. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, we were just doing a job in whatever it was, Santa Monica or whatever. He's like, it was zoned for maple trees or whatever it was. You could only put one kind of tree. And I'm like, look around. There's trees. Every tree in this block is different. But for some reason, the certain parts of the city have to be zoned for certain trees.
Oh.
That's arbitrary and bizarre.
Well, I've got that problem in Hollywood. So you've got Hollywood Boulevard, right? Palm trees. That's what we all think of when you walk down Hollywood. I have fucking shitty jacarandas in front of my place.
Aww.
And they shred and they're
and you
brutal
can't move
and you can't see our space as well. And it makes no sense because right next to me is palm trees, you know, the business down, and the other side's palm trees. So I asked the city guy, I was like, if there's anything you guys could do, you know, why wouldn't you just make palm trees to go all the way up and down Hollywood Boulevard? So when tourists came, and then to your point, get the hot dog people and the other panhandlers that, you know, don't pay taxes and set up small businesses selling water and everything else along Hollywood Boulevard while the rest of us pay, you know, top dollar rent and, you know, spend the money to build out on Hollywood, which is a whole shitstorm I would never recommend to anyone in my entire life. So.
By the way,
he's pot committed.
In terms of like, hey, it's dangerous. Like everything falls under the heading of like safety. It's safety. It's a safety issue. Guys from Guatemala with a third grade education cutting up a papaya on top of a trash can lid with a rusty fucking machete and then selling it to kids going by. Is that the fall under the heading of any safety thing you'd like to regulate, you fucking hypocrite assholes?
I wouldn't offer it as the definition of safety.
Jesus fucking
However,
Christ.
If the health department comes in and my water in the woman's restroom is 111 instead of 108, you know, we're the worst sons of bitches.
Now we have an issue.
Yeah,
yes.
We've done it.
It's funny you're talking about earthquake safety because they do that. We're an earthquake country, and it's like, yeah, but the building was built in 1909, and it's never moved. So I'm
clearly
this is your argument in your fucking face. It reminded me of this crazy rant I went on with Joel McHale in the radio. It's only 2 minutes, but Joel McHale lived up in the hills, and he wanted to build a swimming pool in his backyard, and they're like, that's never going to happen.
You're going to need
like a double hold pool and a groundwater test. And after he's just like, well, fuck it. I'm not building a pool then. And I was like, okay, like to what end? Like when, what point do people get to do things on their property?
Right.
They're paying taxes. Yeah. And when the house gets upgraded and it gets reassessed and it's got the addition and the pool in it, it's now worth more, and then you've raised your tax. What is
You're
this
welcome.
Thing where you just show up and tell everyone no?
Yeah, who wins when the answer is no and everyone
what
walks
about
away?
All the businesses. What about the gunite guy? All right, sorry. So we have this clip that I told Max Patafine about earthquake safety.
Yes, if you want to do any building in this goddamn city, especially if it's up in the hills, you must either build the Hoover Dam or Hitler's bunker.
Right.
Why? Because we're an earthquake country. Because it's dangerous and we hide behind safety. We hide behind the veil of safety. Hey, just playing it safe. Hey, better safe than sorry. Hey, we're an earthquake country. My house was built in 1929. It has no reinforced concrete, no plywood, because plywood wasn't invented, no Simpson straps, no HDs, no hold downs, no all thread, no J bolts, no nothing! Nothing! Nothing!
That was a good drop for a while.
They had some poor Irish guy, poor foundation, and they set a house on it.
He sweated
blood. That was it. There was no straps and no Tico clips and no 835s and no continuous shear wall and no moments and no nothing. No nailing schedule, no inspector, no nothing. Now,
nothing!
Oh,
wow, got that drop quick.
Now, that house was built in 1929, and you know where it is today? Right the F where it was put by all the dead people with no hold downs and no rebar and no bunkers and no straps and no nothing. Why? It's an earthquake country! It's an earthquake country! Now, what do you think the house did, you retards? Did it sprout legs and run to Montana every time there was an earthquake and then hustle back and land on its foundation? No! It sat there with no straps, no plywood, no nailing schedule, no hold downs, no all thread, no piers, no pylons, no grade beams, no retaining walls, nothing!
I don't know what we're yelling about!
80 goddamn years through every goddamn earthquake this city could put up, and it has moved not an inch.
So I have feelings, obviously. I wish people knew what colossal fuck-up and assholes everyone was. You know the problem is? You fucking talk to these fucking renters, and they're living in a fucking rent-control apartment in Santa Monica, and they work for the fucking scooter company. And they're like, why? What's the problem? What's the problem?
Life's
it's like, good. You don't know what the problem is because you never had to fucking deal with anything. And they're like, works fine for me. Yeah, right, because you get a fucking free scooter and rent control. Yeah, I know you love it. What about everyone else, dipshit? Sorry.
You forgot drag tight, you know, being able to, the structural drag in your rant. That's another
one. No, redheads. Toby.
Redheads, sheer anchors, man.
Yeah, we had to do the drag that killed some open ceilings upstairs, so good times.
Funny, new redheads.
Yeah, we had to retrofit our old house. It was 1911.
Yeah.
Made
so you had to put expansion bolts, which are like redheads.
Yep.
So you have to drill into you had to do your foundation.
Yep.
So you can either drill into it and clean it out with a bottle brush and blow it out and epoxy all thread into it, or you can just put the tension anchors and bang them in and they expand.
They pop out, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
But you didn't do it. You just paid someone like you pay the pool man. Like
you sound awfully knowledgeable like for someone who didn't do it.
Workers. I didn't do that, but I did a lot at my old house. In my old house, we tore the back off the old house. I built the entire deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did. I did a good amount of
don't
stuff.
Don't get defensive.
You're protesting a little too much.
I used to do things.
Do you ever tell your wife when she's heading home from the office,
yeah,
the network?
Right.
Do you do this move? Because this is where it crosses the line.
Okay.
Well, she calls and goes, what are we eating tonight? And you right. go, I don't know. Why don't you pick up some Indian on your way home? Do you ever do that move? Because, see, that's crossing the line.
She's already out.
Yes.
No. Really?
No, I mean, most of the time I take... Yesterday, I got Porto's. I was in Glendale,
uh-huh,
you know, getting a massage in the afternoon.
Do you have to call her and go, could you wire some money to Porto's? Or does she let you have your own credit card?
No, you know, we got...
It's got a limit.
I've got an allowance.
It's,
you guys,
it's secure. It's a debit card.
Yeah. Yeah. A certain amount comes out of every check into my account.
Wow.
Turns in a reconciliation monthly just to make sure that the boss is happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. She has to sign off. She has to see all the expenses.
Now, I'm looking at flan, but I don't want to overstep my bounds, sweetheart. What do you think? Just one wheel of flan? Or... All right. So we're talking to, or wasn't, but off the air, we're planning on. Brian, I don't know. What do you know? Let's talk to you about this event. What do you know about it?
Well, I know it's, I know a little bit. Toby might know a little more than me, but I'll tell you what I know. I was approached by Mike August saying, hey, we got this brewery, these locations, and they do a comedy night. And how would you think about hosting a few series of comedy nights at these locations? One in Torrance, one in Santa Monica, one in Valencia.
Yep.
That's
yep.
right. And we can get some of the people from Last Football Brian to show up, some of the professional comedians, you know, just coming out watching me working out material. Actually, mm-hmm. some real comedians, Jeff Cesario, Dana Gould,
Adam Ray, Greg Fitzsimmons.
It's right. a whole bunch of the Corolla favorites, like a mini Laughs with Paul O'Brien. See the stew as it's getting stirred,
yeah,
and come out, drink some beer. See some real professional comedians. Watch me attempt to do this whole thing. Brian, you going to be there?
Yes, sir. I'll
this
be there.
It's going to be a whole yep. comedy now. Cool.
Oh, is it Brian? You do some stand up.
He normally hosts these types of things.
I'm yeah, Brian. Are you going to do it? I mean, should we check?
No, I'd love to do it. Okay. I'd love to. Yeah. I'm happy
she
to
says
do it.
Keep it a tight seven. She's going to flash the light at six.
Well, somebody's got to pick up the slack after Ball Brian lays it on the ground.
So it's the Dude's Brewery that'll be September 14th and the 28th, and then the Dude's Brewery that'll be on October 12th as well. You can get tickets at AdamCarolla.com, and we're going to do these events, and I'm going to pop up too
nice.
At some point. Why
nice.
Not? It's fun, and everyone will do, I don't know, 15
I'll,
minutes,
I'll host,
20 minutes.
I'll throw to the comedians. Host. I'll go do some intermittent stuff, and I mean, I appreciate the opportunity just to get on stage in front of some paying customers and, you know, work out the material, and as a bonus, you'll get to see some real comedians.
I will bet, Toby, that as I'm looking here, you have a location in Valencia and location in Santa Monica. Santa Monica is probably much tougher putt in terms of building something than Valencia.
Yeah.
I feel like Valencia. I mean, they're as the crow flies, they're 23 miles mm-hmm. apart or 31 miles apart, but it's a different vibe. Like, that's the other thing, too. It's within this murderer's row of colossal dickheads known as Department of Building and Safety in Los Angeles, there are still the Michael Jordans of dickheads, and that would be Santa Monica, would be probably the worst assholes to ever ask. They're the fucking worst because they're... See, the thing about Valencia is there's at least regular guys who aren't in super woke, I'm going to tell you how to fucking
sure.
do every facet of your life mode. So you go there and he asks for a permit and then you can kind of work it out, but they're not into I must correct everything you do in life mode.
Yeah. No, they just got back from Magic Mountain.
Santa Monica attracts the super woke right. dickheads who are going to tell you everything to do anyway, and now you've put them in the permit department or the plan check right. department in the vortex of everyone fucking telling everyone what to do in Santa Monica. So that has to be worse, right?
It's the Republic of Santa Monica for a reason. Yeah, we did. I did my before this. I worked for 13 years doing high rise tenant improvement. We do mostly stuff on the West Side and Santa Monica, down to Howard Hughes, up to Woodland Hills, and it's always the worst.
Bringing the
mirror.
Bringing the
Chris Boehm actually used to be my superintendent.
Wow, blast from the past.
My buddy Chris. Yeah, we started construction together a million years ago.
He said this was an office of his at one time.
Oh, yeah.
He used to, Boehm Construction.
He used to come over here and use it as an office. And also, when I did Earthquake, I don't know if I told you guys to know anything about Earthquake Rehab.
Was it this show or was it Alvin Drew?
I think it was Loveline a long time ago.
You played a clip.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I will tell you that I don't want to bore people with the difference between shear anchors and tension anchors, but off the air. But when I got my first city job where I was doing earthquake rehab for the city, I got Chris's first job in earthquake rehab. At some point, I couldn't find him. Found him sleeping in one of the rooms that was, it was like 50 rooms. You know, Max Bat, I don't know who's bold enough to do this, but one of these days, we're going to have to send someone to that building and get them to walk through somebody's room so I can have a weird flashback, because I put all the tile back in their bathroom, and you can see where it's a different color and everything, and I'll have a weird flashback to the mid-late 80s, but everyone who lives there is nuts. And some have weapons.
By all means, knock randomly on the door.
Yeah, I was going to say, just start asking.
So,
good field trip.
Yeah. I don't know. You ever do earthquake rehab work?
You know, I mostly did, you know, cosmetic, high-rise, lawyers and accountants, you know, in Century City. So that was our main bread and butter.
T.I., man.
T.I., yep. The painful stuff, but the detailed stuff. The blue tape at the end of the job, the touch-up paint that lasts eternity and... You have 95 shreds in one room that an office manager decided was a really great idea. So,
oh, yeah.
Painful stuff.
Punchless. All right.
Speaking of details.
Some dates have been changed or updated.
I was just about to ask because I was told Valencia Torrance in Santa Monica. Is that what it's going to be? Are we going to do the Torrance one?
That's my understanding. And the 28th is the first one.
28th. I have 28th Valencia, 12th Santa Monica, September 28th, October 12th Santa Monica, and Torrance October 26th.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What I have.
Go to adamcarolla.com for details.
Thank you. All the dates will
be eventually settled on.
All right, let me hit
Brooklinen,
and then we'll get to, look, Brian, let me just say this about you and your budding stand-up career.
Let's take a break.
I'm happy for you to a point.
Okay. Where is that point?
Well, when you pass me.
Okay.
And once in a while, I run into people, and they're like, oh, we're meeting with the guy over at Quibi. And then someone will go, he was an intern at the Man Show. And it's like, now we're taking a dirigible to his office, you know? And I'm like, fuck, I got to go beg this asshole for a job. It's someone to get coffee last time I saw him. I don't like that.
So you're
you know what I'm
saying?
You're
supportive, and you're enthusiastically behind me. Until I get to a certain level.
Right. Within striking distance of me.
The good news is, Brian, plan on him being happy for you for a long time.
I was
going to
say, I'm not planning on anywhere near that level, let alone past it.
Also, remember when I said to you, you're fat, you're bald, and you make $7 an hour, and you have an attitude?
I think he said confidence, but yes. He said
okay, all right. You would make a horrible celebrity. You're already bursting at the seam with confidence and pride already. Imagine if you had a little jizz.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
You guys ever think about people? I know some people are like, if that guy was a big hit,
Dangerous. Oh, God,
I couldn't live with that.
He's insufferable.
Yeah.
I'm a very small deal, but I'm very nice to everyone here.
No, I'm just saying it's more of a dynamic.
Oh, okay.
Dylan's rolling his eyes, Brian.
I'm saying... Just don't become too successful.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
Just keep it in mind.
Hey, any advice you guys have for the career, I appreciate it.
Stay humble.
I like you working out. I like this new budding stand-up career.
I like going for it.
Initiative. I like opening for Joe Coy and doing a very, very good job first time out on stage. I'm just saying at a certain point, I'm going to tap you on the shoulder and ask you to please stop.
Cool it.
Just bring it down a notch. That's all.
Don't build your comedy club in... Los Angeles.
And don't do that.
Any words of advice.
And all right. Keep it tidy, will you?
Keep it coming.
Let me hit Brooke Linen. Yes, you spend one-third of your life between those sheets, and you want them to be insanely comfortable. Brooke Linen, luxury linen sheets and robes with the out the big fat markup, founded in 2014 by a husband and wife who wanted beautiful as home essentials and didn't want to pay an arm and a leg. And we have an exclusive offer, I should say, for my listeners, 10% off and free shipping when you use the promo code Corolla. That's with an A, sure. At brooklinen.com, super comfortable, super nice towels and robes and sheets. Treat yourself, man, especially you spend so much time in either, I mean, I'm either in on a sheet or in my bathrobe. Those are my two modes, man. So do that. And they all have a lifetime warranty as well. Only way to get the 10% off and free shipping is use a promo code Corolla, brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code Corolla. All right, take a quick break. We'll come back with the guys and do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, Lori Loughlin is due back in court next week for a hearing about her role in the college admission scandal. She pleaded not guilty in April, but has recently had a little change of heart. She told lawyers she's prepared to negotiate with federal prosecutors. She could change her plea to guilty if they'd allow her to avoid prison time.
Is that in downtown Los Angeles?
Well, the last one was on the East Coast, so I'm not sure.
It's a federal crime, right?
Yeah.
Oh, she was on the East Coast last time?
Yeah, and Felicity, too.
Oh, I didn't know. I saw them walking out of the courtroom and stuff, but I didn't.
I think the feds were involved.
I didn't know they flew out
to... Yeah, that was it Massachusetts?
I assume because USC's here and they're here.
Yeah, but this was an international. This dude had his... international, sorry, coast to coast.
They're at The Hague.
Interpol's involved. So she does have a suggestion on how she could stay out of prison. A source told Us Weekly, quote,
she pitching them?
She does have a pitch. Listen, this is her elevator pitch. Lori would accept home confinement with monitoring via GPS ankle tag, and she's willing to pay over $2 million for it.
Really?
Yeah, she said she'll pay a substantial fine, over $2 million. She paid $500,000 to smooth out the path for the daughters to get into USC, so maybe she's hoping a little more money will make a difference. And meanwhile, the news we've all been waiting for this month, Penelope Ann Miller and Mia Kirshner, Lifetime movie, The College Admission Scandal.
Oh,
really? A Mother's Nightmare.
A Mother's Nightmare!
That's right.
Turned into.
Always add a Mother's Nightmare. Yep. Max, Matt, where did they go to court last time?
Boston.
Yeah.
Boston?
Brian, what team did you fake playing for to get into USC?
Weird.
You know what's funny? I did go to USC. Yeah. I'm a USC grad. And this scandal didn't bother me at all, because when I was there, we always knew that there were dummies overpaying to pay for my scholarship.
That's a nice way to look at it.
Exactly how it always was. There were dumb kids there.
You got a scholarship.
Yeah.
And now you won't even do your own pool. So sad. What happened? What happened to that young boy?
Look, if I can get it for free, I'm going to get it. That's the bottom line.
What did you go there? What was the scholarship for?
It was an academic scholarship.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where do you hail from?
Maryland. I grew up in Maryland.
Wow. You go all the way from there to USC on an academic scholarship?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Maryland was a great place to grow up. Yeah. Trees.
Jesus Christ.
Streams.
Was it just the weather, or were you wanted to be an actor, or what?
No, I mean, my extended family was from the Southern California area, and I wanted to go to film school, and that's one of the best film schools in the country. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of, how dare you?
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What, did you go to USC?
I did. I didn't go to film school, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Some people could get into the regular school and not get into the film school. I'm just explaining for Brian.
Oh,
that was me.
No, I didn't want film school.
Yeah, but he got his master's in Kep school.
So we're hearing a lot of these stories come out lately, which I guess, I don't know, it's better optics. So I'm just going to highlight one of them. And there's been at least three or four in the past week. Police in Long Beach, California, believe they prevented a disgruntled hotel worker from carrying out another mass shooting. And a lot of these stories about prevention are really popping up now. Cops arrested 37-year-old Rodolfo Montoya at his home in Huntington Beach, where they say he kept several high-powered weapons.
He was a coach of that Little League team.
Yeah, he was on the clip.
Tucson.
Hundreds of rounds of ammunition. ammunition. Police were tipped off by a coworker at the Marriott who said Montoya said he was going to shoot other workers and guests at the hotel. He's charged.
Let me say this.
Which Marriott was it?
The
probably Long Beach.
The very dangerous part about, okay, so, all right, I'm going to try to bring this around. Like, why all the shootings? Why all this? Why all the getting back at and all this kind of shit? Self-esteem movement fucked everything up. Self-esteem movement sort of makes everything about you. So it's like, this guy's pissed at his boss because his boss fired him. It's like, oh, you got fired because you're a fuck up, not because he's a bad person or anyone's a bad person. This fucking thing where we go, I'm not going to internalize anything. I'm going to externalize everything. Get and even. The extreme of that is I got fired. Why? Because I was late a few times in a row and I was smoking a little weed in the back room. Like, okay, you got fired for a fucking reason. Everyone who employs people loves good workers. If you're at a fucking hotel or a restaurant or something and you got a Cracker Jack employee, you don't fire them for no reason. You keep them on and you actually bend over backwards trying to. But at some point, it becomes too much, and you do fucking fire them. We're in this self-esteem movement. Everyone under 40 has this thing where it's like, I felt attacked. I felt ashamed. I felt he was putting me down. He was mean to me. He was attacking me. He was whatever. So, of course, if you feel threatened, if you feel attacked, if you feel like there was a vendetta, then the next thought is, well, what are you going to do about it? If you've got fired because you felt like you've got fired because you felt like you're a fuck up and you need to fix your fucking behavior, then there's no score to settle. Mm-hmm. That score resides in the fucking mirror of your mom's shitty apartment. But if somebody made you into this victim or hurt you or put a target on your back or was attacking you or all this fucking shit that we never stop talking about now that we don't realize is insanely dangerous because we keep turning everyone into victims. Well, when you're fucking victims and everyone's a Nazi and everything's a fucking Holocaust situation and everything's a concentration camp, well, that does say you got to fix it. You got to fucking fix it. The French resistance need to grab a gun and you got to fucking fix things. So this whole victimhood bullshit is causing a bunch of victims who have super high fucking self-esteem and who need to act on getting fired, even though I'm sure if we found the boss and we went, why did you fire this guy? He would fucking show you a laundry list of paperwork of why this dickhead needed to be fired. But their job is, I will now come in and shoot you.
To slice it even further, they can't deal with adversity. You know what I mean? They get told no at work, or they get fired, or what?
Bring a gun to school.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, what they spin out. What are we going to
right, do? Right. Self-esteem movement's a fucking disaster.
Well, that definitely didn't come up in the article, because Montoya is charged with possession of assault weapons, making a criminal threat. Police say he has no criminal history that would prevent him from purchasing weapons or doing anything. So maybe they need to look a little bit deeper.
It's going to be hard to enact any fucking stuff that makes any sense, because there's always just no history of anything. Could have got a gun, could have whatever, could have, you know, used handguns or whatever.
Do you think we should start incentivizing military school?
Or military service, at least.
The breakdown of, like, ROTC and playing football and organized sports and all that
football's,
shit. Like,
football's a thing of the past.
Men need that shit. They need that discipline. They need the hierarchy. They need a fucking commander.
Follow the leader.
No dad, no coach, no ROTC. That's just fucking unmoored young dudes. And they get angry and they get violent and they act out. Chicks are nice. They just cut on themselves.
Yeah,
and then we
act in, not out.
Overly and become overly promiscuous.
Gina, say that again.
By the way, we act in, not out.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you. And by the way, can I get you guys anything? Anyone need a top off on their just beverage or
just go ahead and carve a swastika into your thigh?
You got
that'll
it.
Be good.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Vince McMahon is making his second attempt to build a successful professional football league after the original XFL lasted about a season in 2001. Now the XFL officially announced team names ahead of the league's expected inaugural season in 2020. I have the list of nicknames after the cities were selected in December. So here is what it's going to be. It's going to be the Dallas Renegades, the DC Defenders, Houston Roughnecks, LA Wildcats, New York Guardians, Seattle Dragons, St. Louis Battlehawks, and Tampa Bay Vipers. Anybody interested?
It's well,
some
now that
tepid names.
Football season is starting, you know, we don't need it anymore. it's kind of interesting how you have to, you know, would have been warriors or Indians or chiefs or something, you know, in the past. And we have to kind of figure figure it all out.
It's all sure fictitious.
It's all going to be dragons now.
Did you go to any of the original ones? I went to the first game at the Coliseum. And He Hate Me was on the LA team. I don't even remember what
I
their name was.
That's all I remember is He Hate Me was a DB or punt returner. Or
my my friend had tickets to their whatever Super Bowl was, whatever their championship game was. And he's like, you want to go? I'm like, no. He's like, dude, it's history. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, yeah. This will not be something you'll be telling people about.
Is this like the Kiss League?
Similar.
Where Kiss was doing that?
That's indoors. That's an indoor. So right. Like arena, you know, it has a little bit.
You guys, you guys, to tell me if, as football fans, and it's sort of, it becomes a kind of, you become like a junkie with it, and then you need some methadone, like you just need a hit off something, like during the off season. And the NFL Network, and I remember when they were pitching it years ago, it's like, well, yeah, well, what are you going to do in July? It's like, oh, we got OTAs and we got the draft and we got injury updates.
Trades,
and then we start saying we'll do the Hall of Fame inductees and retrospective on Earl Campbell and stuff like that. The more, so what they basically were able to do is take this 4-month football season and make like rock soup out of it and stretch it out 12 months. Now that there's like a full time NFL Network, which is the methadone channel that you can watch in July, I don't need the expansion NFL. Not the expansion, but I don't need the arena leagues and all that kind of stuff.
Through.
I'm like, I can watch. Oh, they're running last year's Super Bowl. That was a good. I was drunk, so now I'm sober. I mean, for now.
Watch it with a clear eye.
Because on at noon. But no, like I'm going to watch. I'll watch it. Oh, I forgot about that play. Or like whatever it is. Like you're sort of satiated and you don't really need the, we got to get out and watch a high school football game or something like that.
Were you asking? Because my specific answer is might not be for everyone, but it works out well for me personally because I love movies as much as I love football. So when football like culminates in a Super Bowl and it falls off right in the early February, that's Oscar season,
that's
man.
Blockbuster season.
Well, that's when the Oscar movies are coming out, the Oscar nominations are coming out, the big movies are in theaters. So for me, it works out well. So I can just kind of, you know, transition to my other love.
Let's ask the other Brian who has nothing to do all fucking day but go to matinees and spend his wife's hard-earned money. Do you feel the same way?
No, well, I think the... No, I don't, actually. I don't feel the same way. I like movies year-round, but the thing about football is the reason they can keep doing these things is the gambling. Gambling money. It gives you something else to gamble on. As you talk about junkies.
You never gambled on the Oscars? Oh, buddy.
There's money to be made.
I got a whole new world to open up for you.
Yeah, you leave money on the table.
I don't have the budget for that.
She didn't allocate that.
Yeah, she didn't allocate
that. That's my income.
It's got to take her to dinner and have a sit-down conversation about opening up some credit lines.
I need some Bitcoin.
You put on that new negligee tonight. She got you for Valentine's Day.
Pretty yourself up.
You shave and have that come hither look. And I bet you get a little gambling money.
The answer is always yes.
Well, speaking of movies, just days after getting married, Dwayne Johnson was named the highest paid actor in the world, according to Forbes. Hobbs and Shaw star earned $89.4 million between June 1st, 2018 and June 1st, 2019, holding off a lot of Marvel actors. He really held off.
I've said it before. This seems like the title I'd want my son to have, or me to have, or anyone I love to have. But the better title is when they come out with the list of most overcompensated. Like Sandra Bullock got paid $51 million, but her box office only totaled 22. It's like, that's the list.
That's the real hero.
Because I feel like Dwayne is earning it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He worked for this.
And also, he's got the, I made $50 million, but what I make someone else, $500 million?
Right.
You know, Sandra Bullock, or whoever makes the top of that list, I got 25 extra million in the bank.
I got a list of one that you want to be on. And this guy is, we're all fools. We're all fools laughing in the wind at Vin Diesel. Because Vin Diesel has cashed some big checks for those Marvel movies, the Avengers, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. He has said, someone do the count, because he has said something like 7 words total. I am Groot. I am Groot. We are is the only other word. As you said, it's 5 words. The guy's made $50 million. He's making $1 million a word.
I'm going to sound like my mom. school teachers get paid. Some of these people, they have to buy their own supplies.
He's got $10 million.
And then they have these classes are overcrowded. And he says, I am Groot. And he gets more than 100 school teachers?
Well, Mom, one time he did say, we are Groot.
Oh, he said we are Groot?
One time.
Okay. That's
one good. Time.
I didn't know he said we are.
So just in case you're wondering how the
you're
Rock's
right.
numbers
Vin
break
Diesel.
Down, he does get $700K per episode of Ballers. So that is a very helpful to the list. Here's the rest of the list, if you're interested. I'll go from 10 to 1.
That's funny
really,
when
that,
you get...
That
you
seems
get,
low. Is
700?
That like a passion project? I mean, everything else he's getting $10 million.
Well, per episode.
Yeah. See, I see him like, I see The Rock episodes. Getting the Ballers check going, what's this for? Ballers. Is that still on?
That,
yeah, you're in it.
Yeah, you shot it last week.
Okay.
Yeah, you shot it actually last week, the entire week. You were on location in Atlanta.
Oh, that wasn't at Fast and Furious?
Well, he did it at the same time, actually. He did nights on Fast and Furious and days on
Hobbs
Ballers.
And Shaw, was that?
That was the weekend before and pickups the weekend after. So you kind of, yeah.
Hobbs and Balls, you say it was called again?
This one was Hobbs and Shaw. The spinoff is going to be Hobbs and Balls. It's going to be you and a pair of testicles.
Showtime?
Fighting crime. No, that'll be theatrical. I know you got a very busy schedule. I'll draw a schematic.
Sunday's my cheat day.
Go crazy, man. You earned it.
Brink all right, Hobbs and Balls. Either way, just back up that Brinks truck. Yeah.
So who else is on the list? Well, Will Smith at $35 million. Paul Rudd at $41 million. Chris Evans, $43.5 million.
Ant-Man. Avengers. He was in two huge... possibly Ant-Man.
God, I would have never got to Paul Rudd.
He's number nine. Bradley Cooper, $57 million. Adam Sandler, $57 million. Jackie Chan, $58 million.
Jackie Chan's still making money.
$58 million. Akshay Kumar, he's an Indian-born Canadian actor, does a lot of Bollywood films, $65 million. Wow. Robert Downey Jr., 66. Chris Hemsworth, 76.4. And Dwayne, 89.4.
God damn it.
That's a lot. That's
pretty good.
School teachers don't have enough money to... The school won't pay for their... Yeah, I know. So what's the system we have? Wow.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
No, sir.
Wait a minute. All men?
All men.
Mm.
I don't like it.
Scarlett Johansson, get any of that?
I cry a foul.
What's her fuck? Didn't Captain America or whatever it was?
Brie Larson?
Yeah, Captain Marvel? Yeah, she was in two.
And she had two this year.
Yeah. See?
Is that just a dude's list?
It's a dude's list just because they happen to be dudes. My mom.
There could be a.
It's just actors.
Mm.
My mom's friends with the Rudds because they're all from from the same part of Kansas. She really should get back in touch with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paul Rudd.
I
would have
a lot of people from Kansas, the suburbs.
It's just because he doesn't look like $40 million or something.
It's a regular
dude. He seems so regular.
That's his appeal. Mm-hmm. Chris, what did Vin Diesel make for all the Marvel movies?
Everyone's reporting that he made for Guardians 2 $54 million.
$54 million.
Jesus. God damn.
That's $10 million a word.
Well,
no, for 18. One movie?
18 words.
Oh, I know, at least
18 different words?
No, I said it was 18 million for the three words, but if you count We Are Groot, then yeah.
But
that's only five words.
Everybody
total.
Else had to fucking go down to Atlanta for 6 months to shoot that shit. He probably
went to Santa Monica.
He did say he had to record I Am Groot over 1,000 times.
But to be fair to him, he mispronounced it 999 times. I am Root? No. Vin.
I'm Christ. I've been here for 5 hours.
Vin, you know how your name is?
It's one line.
Right. I am right. No.
I mean, I guess technically you are.
Oh, you are wrong.
No, I am Groot.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
That's your other movie. You're the franchise.
Oh, sorry.
Just please repeat after me. I
live my life a quarter mile at a time.
You said that was very good when you said that, but we need to say I am Groot.
Living La Vida Loca. I'm sorry. I need a break. Write it down. Oh, it is written down?
It's written down.
Teach me how to read.
It's wallpaper in the studio.
Yeah. It's all about family. So important. Well, it's about family and beating the shit out of people that threaten my family.
You said five words.
Those are my two things.
Well, diehard Apple fans are excited about the company's new titanium credit card. It comes with a problem that most Apple users are very familiar with. This sleek, minimalist-looking card, very sensitive to other materials and dyes, and therefore should be stored not stored next to anything else, and should be kept in a pocket or a bag made of soft materials. The website warns that leather and denim, things like that, could lead to permanent discoloration, and that placing this card next to other credit cards could scratch it and scuff it and screw it up.
I thought titanium was like super durable.
But it's Apple, so of course it's not.
Yeah.
It's meant to slip out of your hand.
Yeah, this is not a problem for Android users because you can only use it if you have an iPhone because it's built into the Apple Wallet app. But put it in your Royal Crown bag or something and carry it around because you can't put it in your wallet.
The only time I feel good about myself is when I go to the Home Depot in Glendale and I buy like 3 half-inch carriage bolts and I pull out my black Centurion card and the chick with her name written all festively on her own thing, she goes, I've never seen one of these before. And I'm like, dude, that's right,
that's
baby.
That's right, sister. Right?
Because that's the Home Depot in Beverly Hills.
Ooh.
I see them all.
Not over here.
But most of the time it backfires because they feel sorry for me. They look at the black card and they go, oh.
What happened? Is this a wick check?
Yeah. Like, is this from the Bank of Hoven? Yeah. What
boss,
happened?
Your boss gave you this?
Yeah. They can't compute. And I think based on how I'm dressed, I think in what I'm buying, I think they round down.
You know what? You just take it. Just go ahead and take it.
Yeah.
Things are going well for you.
Yeah.
Do you want to apply for the Home Depot credit card while you're here?
They do ask me that. I'm always like, no. But I should take them up on it.
Yeah, you could be earning cash back or some points. Screw points.
Back check for $275.
All right, let me hit Geico, and then we'll do another story. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. You take that extra money, and you put it in your pocket, man. Geico, just go to geico.com, spend a couple minutes and see just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance at Geico, geico.com. All right, let's do one more.
All right, well, I've been sitting on this for a few days because I'd like to do a whip around to see if you think this sounds delicious or horrible. A candy shop owner is selling a modified Oreo that sounds gross, but he's claiming it's amazing. Bill Kelly, he's the owner of Grandpa Joe's Candy Shop, a chain of sweet stores with 9 locations in Pennsylvania and Ohio. He sells a chocolate covered Oreo, fine, with a thin slice of dill pickle in the middle. As crazy as this sounds, he promises it's really good. A hint of pickle, he says, not overwhelming. And if you're interested, he sells them in a 3-pack for $9.
I'm not an Oreo fan. I am a dill pickle fan in this, and I could see where this would work. I can sort of picture it.
Hold on, Gina said chocolate covered. You meant peanut butter covered.
Oh, peanut butter covered. I was looking at it going, look, this now, I'm in with the peanut butter now. You could start, there's many Girl Scout cookies you could start with and get a better jumping off point, but fine. My daughter and her friends had a brownie making party at the house the other week, and they made brownies. And they baked in a bunch of Oreos and then kind of decided it was like gross and like too much and too whatever.
Well, if it's too sweet for a 13-year-old girl, it's bad.
Well, the deal is just make good brownies. Like, that's the moral of the story. Baking in Oreos to the brownies.
Gilda Lily.
Yeah. It's like this one I kind of get because they're going the pickle route. Mm-hmm. But I think people, there's a certain simplicity and a certain... I'm trying to think of the word I'm looking for, but what a brownie is a brownie, and a slice of pizza is a slice of pizza, and not everything is supposed to have a bunch of shit on it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. My whole thing in life is I don't need a piece of pumpkin pie with Heath bars crumbled up on it or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just need the best. Find me the best slice of pumpkin pie or key lime pie or lemon meringue pie and a banana cream pie, and I shall enjoy that offering from the apple pan.
Best cheesecake, plain cheesecake. Yes. I don't like Oreo, cherry. I don't like any of that.
Yep.
So, that stuff is fine if you have a shitty slice of cheesecake.
That you're apologizing for.
You're apologizing
for it. You're dressing it up.
Yeah, like let's just say you're at Porto's and you're asking your wife for permission to buy cheesecake, and she wants you to take a picture of it with the price because she doesn't trust you because she knows you're going to tack on 20%. You're going to gamble on you Arena League football.
This, I'll be Brian. Duh, hey, honey, it's Brian, not Bald Brian, the other Brian. Can I buy cheesecake?
That's right. She's going to get suspicious because she has a menu of Portos on her screensaver and her computer. And,
She's fallen for this one too many times.
Right. Would you try this?
Yeah, I like the peanut butter part.
Yeah, of course, and
I like
the peanut butter part.
I like the pickle part. And I like that this guy stands by his product. I like that he goes, trust me, this is good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course I'd try it, but they're just trying to get sweet and salty together.
Well, it's not even salty. It's like tangy.
Well, I'm saying at its ultimate element, pickles are salty, right? But like, there's so many better versions of sweet and salty. I can just, I'll try
it. Well, I'll never hate on putting potato chips on a peanut butter and jelly like we did in second grade. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But this, I don't know, it has some zip that I'm not sure I'm comfortable with. But maybe we should try them. Order a 9-pack or a 3-pack or whatever it is.
The nanny. You can only imagine if I stayed home. Mm-hmm. My wife was at work all day, and I had a full-time nanny. But
right.
The judging that would be going on. My nanny was making the peanut butter and jelly for the kids, and I said, are they allowed to have peanut butter and jelly in the
eighth school.
Grade? And they're like, there's a special table to sit. You have to sit
in
at a table.
In a hamster wheel?
Yeah. You have to sit inside. They have these... you ever see one of those like weird inflatable car? There's like car covers or motorcycle covers that are like a big inflatable bubble.
Right.
You ever see those?
Yeah.
You, like, park your motorcycle in instead of putting a cover on
like
it.
Like an igloo?
Yeah. You blow. Oh. You ever see those?
No, never once.
Oh, Max Pata. I don't know. Let's see. Type in like inflatable motorcycle cover or something. It'll just show like you literally create a sphere for your. For your vehicle.
So they have to eat in a biodome?
They have a special table to eat peanut butter and jelly. Peanut butter and jelly at. Yeah, there's. It's like an inflatable bag.
You just have to eat before you suffocate.
Look at that snow globe.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I don't know why a sheet or a tarp wouldn't work, but for some reason.
Not cool.
Yeah, it won't. What are those called,
so
Max?
If it gets knocked over, I guess, the impact?
I guess. What are they? Do they have a name for those things? Or you can tell us. All right,
Car cover. I mean, I don't know if there's an actual name. It's just car capsule, motorcycle capsule.
Let's do one more, Gene.
All right. Well, Quentin Tarantino is about to become a dad for the first time. The Oscar-winning director and his wife.
Really?
Yeah. Did you know, by the way, Israeli singer and model Daniela Pick, that's his wife, revealed they're expecting their first kid. The couple got married last November. It's his first marriage, his first child. He's 56. The couple met 10 years ago, and Tarantino said his work always consumed his life, which is why he never married until he was 55. He's previously said that he plans to retire from making films when he's 60, so he'll have plenty of time for parenting his, 4-year-old?
Well, this is funny. Yes, I wasn't even going to bring this up, but I watched Hateful Eight full Quibi style last night. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Hateful Eight, I love Tarantino, and I love Hateful Eight, and many people that like Tarantino movies don't like that movie, but when you watch it, it's really good. Like, I love Kurt Russell is great, and mm-hmm. Sam Jackson's great, and the whole thing and the stagecoach is great, and Goggins is great. Like, I really like The Snow, whatever. I like that movie a lot, but either way, I was in the annals of fucking insanity. Remember I explained that nothing ever works? Like, you know, I get the thing like Ed comes over the house and he's like, well, you start thinking about 80s rock and it'll just come on all the speakers in the house. Like all that fucking mm-hmm. home guys and nothing ever works. Like mm-hmm. nothing ever works.
You have to update everything all the fucking time.
It's always somebody else did something, you know, before you. And
change
it's like,
the setting.
Right. Okay. Here's what my goddamn TV is doing. The remote is not speaking to the TV. Mm-hmm. TVs, they won't put a fucking button on them anymore. You can't turn them on. So you have this remote, and if the remote's not communicating, then you can't turn on the TV. And there was like problems, like the TV's not speaking to the remote. And then it's like, well, you can get the Sony remote, not the Universal remote, and turn the TV on, but you can't control it. You can just have it. It's just on. It's there. And it's like, okay. And so he came over to do some troubleshooting and blah, blah, blah. Here's what the remote is doing as of last night. It turns on the TV. You may watch the TV for exactly 6 minutes, and then the TV goes blank. When the TV goes blank...
That's haunted.
It's 6 minutes every time. When the TV goes blank, you hit the other button on the remote. There's DirecTV. Yeah, there's
the input button.
You hit the other one. The other one, the only one that'll work is the camera. You hit the camera, you see the cameras. It's hooked up to the outside camera.
Security camera. Okay.
You hit security camera, then you switch back to DirecTV, and you get six more minutes. And then it's back. Now, you could pause it. You can walk out of the room. It doesn't matter.
Just any great director, any great auteur wants his films watched.
You get six minutes.
You watch a Clockwork Orange next?
Originally, I said, well, okay, this is DirecTV. I'll go over to Netflix where I can watch it uninterrupted. The exact same thing. You get 6 minutes. So I stumbled on to the Tarantino Hateful Eight.
Four-hour movie.
And we were talking about it. And I was like, I'm nursing. So part one was 37 minutes, but it took me 3.5 hours to fucking get through it.
And it's all dialogue? You're trying to track it?
They're just sitting in a stagecoach.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was talking to Nick Santora, who's writing a feature for Quibi. And I was like, it's a full-length feature in 10-minute chunks. And I was like, how does it work? And so he was explaining that, well, at the end of the 10 minutes or 9 minutes in, you have to have a little cliffhanger and then bring people back.
Right.
Just watch this entire first act. I got from the snow-covered trail just to the inside of the cabin, basically. It took 3 hours. And I watched it all in 6 minute chunks because the TV's doing something. By the way, here's what I like. I don't get your garden variety, hey, the thing doesn't work. I've never heard of this from Ed. Like, this has never happened. Nobody has ever complained of this. This has never happened in the annals of whatever. But of course it's going to happen because it was all the promises.
The
it's always going to work and it never fucking works. Yeah. But okay, I watched this whole first act this way. And it was sort of weirdly satisfying in that you would give yourself a little bit of time to think about and digest the stupid part that you just got done watching. Mm-hmm. There's like a weird break.
This is a zippy dialogue.
I was thinking about Quibi and all that. Oh, how are you going to watch a full-length movie in nine and a half minute segments? I realized, oh, it can work. It can work.
Yeah,
it's kind
know.
Of stop. Yeah. I do not suggest it
right.
for anyone. I would not recommend it to
You wouldn't do it again?
As an exercise, as a folly.
But it was kind of interesting, and it was definitely foisted on me, and I didn't know when it was going to end. I just knew I had about 6 minutes. Yes.
Well, it seems like a great sketch. Yeah. Adam Carolla is living his life, and then his TV goes shitwire every 6 minutes, and he has to deal with it. I would have paid
for
footage
of that.
Yeah,
there's a way. There's two ways to do it. You can be poised, like you can have the remote in your hand and be in a...
Like the morphine trip, when the 7 minutes is up. You got to get through that 7 minutes to get the next
trip.
You
can be standing like a center fielder when there's a guy with a big bat who comes up that kind of, okay, this guy's going to put some wood on this fucking ball.
Right.
Like you can be in that position, and you can toggle to the cameras and then back and do it in about a second and be right back on it. But if you're going to get up and go to the bathroom or you're going to set the thing down and answer an email or something, you're going to get screwed. It's going to take a minute. We'll see if Ed has fixed this problem that no one I've ever met or heard of has ever encountered before. Yeah.
Congratulations.
But it did make me think about the Quibi model.
That's interesting.
And how it would be feasible.
Now you know.
Now I know.
You're the test book. You're the focus group.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just make content as compelling as Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah,
right.
You're good. That's the answer.
And
you'll
you're
be
good.
Just fine.
Yeah. All right. Joe Gage. All right. Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Woody Breast.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal parts from robbing and rubbing and friction. Three times.
Woody breast.
I'm stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. They did a 5W30 viscosity grade test, and it's three times better than the leading full synthetic. It is Castrol Edge, formulated in ways to exceed the toughest industry standards. It is Castrol Edge. All right, let's see. Where's Phil? Is he asleep somewhere?
I rub my feet.
Yep. Laying in front.
All right. Toby and Brian and, oh, the new date. Sorry. September 28th, Valencia. October 12th, Santa Monica. And Torrance, October 26th. Stand up with a lot of good name stand ups over there.
And Brian
and some good beer.
That feels hurtful.
Too. Good beer and finger food and all that kind of stuff. The beer.
Yeah, we've got it Valencia and Santa Monica. We do a Italian style kind of pizza concept and then some small bites.
Oh, nice.
I heard you guys talk about chimichurri. We have some chimichurri steak bites.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to all that. I'll figure out my schedule and pop on into one of those events. And you can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. Going to be in Portland at the World of Speed with Mario Andretti doing a live car cast there. And Napa and West Palm Beach and all that good stuff. So go to adamcarolla.com and you can find my special and find all our YouTube page. YouTube.com/adamcarolla. See our stand-up stuff there. And until next time, Adam Carolla for Toby Humes. Brian McDaniel, Gina Grad, and Bald Brian saying, mahalo. Shut up, old guy.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give a thumbs up on Facebook at that same place. And what else? Give us a call. We won't answer, but we'll probably make fun of you on the air. 888-634-1744. 888-634-1744. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, mandatory events, book reviews, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com. Stay tuned for AP News.